The Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Mayor Rusversky, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good.
So the question that we've been asking ourselves in studio today, we've been chatting to military expert Major David Cathcart, a strategist in the South African Army. We were talking about Afghanistan. We were talking about strategy there. And the natural question that comes up is Israel likely to enter into a war of significance in the next short while? What's your thoughts on it?
So, Howard, I'm not a military expert, but this is my opinion. I don't think that that's going to happen in the near future at all for a number of reasons. First of all, we know that usually when Hamas enters into a war, it means that they're cash poor and they need to raise money. Unfortunately, when you don't understand a situation, you always have to look for the money. And with Hamas, it's 100 times that. Mm-hmm. Of course, they never have an excuse to start a war. They never have to have an excuse to start a war with Israel. We know that. But this time, even though, of course, they are claiming to be cash poor, as always, this time it's a little different. The world has really changed since the last war in Gaza, and Hamas is not going to have its benefactors, its the money pockets, like it did before. They're not going to be getting support, in my opinion, from Egypt, from Saudi Arabia, from the United Arab Emirates, even maybe from Jordan. They might be getting money from Iran, but Iran is the economy is in a free fall. They may be getting money from Turkey, same thing with Trump's sanctions on both of those countries. Both the lira and the rial are just tanking. So I don't know where they're expecting to get their money from, and I don't think that they're going to start a war because of that. But and then right. In the north, mm-hmm. Okay, then we have in the north the threat from Hezbollah. I think Hezbollah is completely 100% a patron of Iran. Mm-hmm. So we have the same issues. At the same time, there seems to be an agreement between the U.S., Russia, and Israel to push Iran back and get Iran a little more contained out of Syria, away from Israel's border. We know that they've let Israel have a pretty much free rein in terms of operations that have knocked out missile capacities from Hezbollah and Iran to Israel. So I just don't see it in the near future, thankfully.
I've also noticed that there's tremendous pressure on Iran to stop funding Hezbollah. In fact, and it's although it might have been over the last, it certainly was a very poorly kept secret that Iran was funding Hezbollah. It's now an open discussion that Iran needs to commit to stop funding Hezbollah. So I think that also makes a massive difference.
Yeah, the most amount of pressure is coming from the Iranian people.
Yes, I see that.
And possibly faced with the prospect of a people's revolution and the regime falling, I think that that would be the only reason that this regime, which are fanatical ideologues and really don't have, we've seen, since the nuclear agreement, when all that money, billions of dollars poured into Iran and basically not one rial trickled down to the people. The people are very upset about that. And so we see that short of maybe getting kicked out of power, I don't see that they're going to stop funding Hezbollah at this point.
Mary, how do you account? And we were trying to chat about it a little bit earlier. We didn't get to a solution or to an understanding of it. We had a situation towards the end of last week that there was no doubt significant negotiations taking place between Hamas, Israel, Egypt, and they claimed to have reached a certain, well, it would appear as though they reached a certain amount of common understanding. Borders were opened again. There was talk of ports. There was the fishing line was extended. And then not 24 hours later, we have a situation where 7,000 or so people, maybe even more, are amassing on the Israeli-Gaza border causing significant strife again. Can you explain how that works? I mean, what the basis for that is?
Right. I am not so sure that there is any explanation that us in the West are really able to comprehend, except for this is the way these regimes work. You give them 1 inch, they'll take a mile. They will push and push until, you know, until they're pushed back to the point that they know that they can't do anything, to see where the West is really serious and where they're not. So we had, during the Obama years, for example, you know, all these empty threats in Syria, and ISIS knew that, and the Syrian regime knew, and Iran knew, and even Russia knew that America's word meant nothing. And I think that it's the same type of thing. I think Hamas is pushing to see where Israel and Egypt's word really is. Because an agreement for them is, it's not an agreement like we make in the West. There's no intention of keeping that agreement, in my opinion.
Well, in fact, Major David Katz is nodding his head, because, in fact, he was talking about a situation. But, David, I'm going to bring you in here. You were talking about that. Just tell us about that situation again, when the Western powers were negotiating with the Taliban. And remind me of that.
Well, they were negotiating some 3 weeks before the Taliban took over Ghazni. They were deep into negotiations with the Taliban. One of the reasons they gave with that is that the Taliban wanted to show a demonstration of strength, because they were also losing some recruits to ISIS. So there were a few reasons behind it. So one can seek explanations for what they do. I think you have to understand the opponent. I think that's what's important now, is that they don't have the same perspectives that people in the West do. And we need to understand where they're coming from, to combat them more effectively.
I 100% agree. 100%. They do not have the same commitment, and an agreement with them is usually a way to foster their goals. And we know what their goals are, so we shouldn't be taken in by thinking that we have some kind of truce with them or some kind of agreement with them.
Mm. May I ask another question? You spoke about funding. How much funding does it take for Hamas to continue this low intensity war? From my understanding, they're not Hezbollah by any means. Hezbollah is quite a sophisticated army with sophisticated weaponry. When we look at Hamas, we're looking at homemade weapons, and they operate, from what my understanding, I'm not an expert in that region. From my understanding, they operate on a very, very low budget, with very low tech equipment and tunnels and homemade weaponry. How much funding do they actually need? And can they be starved up? Because I know Howard's a great proponent of clamping down on economically in the hope that there's regime change. But is there any possibility that could actually work in this type of scenario?
That is a very good question. I'm not sure that I have 100% answer about that, but I think that our best deterrent is one of the things that we did after the last Gaza war is we didn't let those sophisticated long-range missiles get back into Gaza to the extent that they were. Do you remember in the last Gaza war how they were shooting missiles that got to Tel Aviv, that got to Jerusalem? So now they have been really on top of it in these last years, stopping shipments, bombing shipments, all these things especially from Iran. So they are not stocked the way they are. Certainly the situation in Iran and Turkey with their economies is going to really hurt Hamas, and that's a very good thing.
Indeed, and that's unfortunately where we do have to leave it. So, Mayor Rusversky, from the Karen Project, your view is that we're probably going to see a continuation, perhaps, of this type of terror, but unlikely that it's going to escalate into a full-blown war. That's your feeling and thoughts on this.
That's right. That's correct.
All right, and that's where we'd leave it.